Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Authors on the Air. It's Friday. I am very excited. January 20th, we're ending our third week of Female Crime Fiction Writers Month. I have the most delectable thriller novelist with me. Not only is she a lawyer, she writes some of the best thrillers out there. Her series is not to be believed. It's so good. Stay with me, and I'm going to let you talk to Pam Callow. Hang in there. Joining me on Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. Tonight is the night of two Pams. We've been kind of joking about this all day today and over the past couple days. Thriller novelist Pamela Callow is with me tonight. Her books are so spectacular that when our review team decided to go ahead and review them, she across the board was highly recommended, 5 stars across the board. And we have some strict reviewers. Yeah, they just loved it. To see with the current reviews, go to the Book Review Crew and Facebook. You're gonna see. The series is the Kate Lange. Do you call it Lange or Lang? How do you pronounce the name?
Well, I call it Lang with an E.
Okay.
So it's Kate Lang with an E.
Lang. Okay, fine. Well, I should remember that because you're Canadian. Let me introduce you. With me tonight is the delightful Miss Pam Callow, who is not only a best-selling, and I am telling you, a serious best-selling author of the Kate Lane novels. She is also an attorney, which is where a lot of the inspiration for her stories come from. She's calling from Nova Scotia. I'm so glad that you are with me tonight, Pam. Welcome to your first time on Authors on the Air. I hope it will not be the last.
Oh, well, thank you so much for inviting me, Pam. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to hear that the Book Review Crew is loving the book. And it really wish I was there in person in Florida with you.
I wish
although
you were too.
Although Nova Scotia's not too bad right now.
It's been lovely. It's been 70 during the day, and it's 70, 75 during the day. Not a cloud in the sky. It's a clear blue, beautiful day, and it's maybe 60 at night. It doesn't usually drop any lower. We had 2 days of winter. It went down to 40 degrees, and that's it. So this is the time when we wear T-shirts that have sleeves on them instead of tank tops and our flip-flops. Shorts and flip-flops, and I'm right on the Gulf of Mexico in Southwest Florida.
Yeah.
So
it's beautiful.
It's
so beautiful
there.
I love
it
that
really
area.
Is. So, well, are you familiar with Sanibel and Captiva Island?
I am. Actually, we've been very, very fortunate to have several family vacations in Sanibel. I love, my whole family, we love nature.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Although I was a little nervous biking by that, nature reserve one night, because I fell behind the group, and I was really worried that a crocodile was going to come out and get me. But that's the thriller imagination going wild.
It is. Actually, it is very dark out there. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's very dark out there at night, which you should not be hiking out there for any reason. But it is beautiful on Sanibel and Captiva. They're only 15, 20 minutes away from me, so on a good day. Yeah.
Lucky
but let's talk about you. I would love to, first of all, read just a little review that was done by Linwood Barclay, who is probably so famous. He's an international best-selling author. And this is what he said about your debut novel, Damage. He said, it is a taut edge-of-the-seat thriller with strong characters and a driving plot. Pamela Callow is Halifax's answer to both John Grisham and Tess Gerritsen. You cannot get a better review from someone. Congratulations on the success of Damaged, your first book. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's my little engine that could. That's what I call it. Damaged was my first thriller. And when I wrote it, actually, I've been a lifelong reader and actually love reading across all genres. And at the time I wrote Damaged, I had been reading a lot of murder mystery. I actually didn't really even know the difference between a mystery and a thriller when I started writing it. But I was just, reading the newspaper one day, before I started reading things online now. And I came across this case and it was just, it was so diabolical and so interesting. And I thought this would be a fantastic case to write my first, suspense novel. And so I researched it and not going to give a lot away here, but the actual denouement of the case in real life was a little bit ordinary. And so I decided to amp it up and, created a plot around it. And lo and behold, I created a thriller. And then when I put it together and I sold it, I honestly had no understanding of kind of what was going to happen with the book when, it had this big pick by, at the time, Levy Home Entertainment. So it was in the top 10 bestseller display across North America and, was in Target and Walmart. And I got these amazing quotes from authors whom I adore, like Linwood Barclay and James Rollins.
It's Jim Rollins, right?
Yeah, he gave me this fantastic blurb. And Hank gave me, and our own Canadian mystery author, Robert Rodenberg, who's a criminal lawyer in Toronto, he gave me a fantastic blurb as well. So, it kind of was one of those almost, pinch me type of experiences, not to say that it happened overnight for anybody out there. This is 10 years in the making.
But
when it happened, it certainly exceeded my expectations. Let me put it that way.
I would imagine. The thing that I notice is that you have almost entirely across the board 5-star reviews from readers. It's really nice to have your peers saying to you, oh, this is a great book. But the ones who count are the readers. And almost unanimously, your book is heralded as one of the best. And you've got a ton of reviews for a debut novelist. I also want to tell everyone that Pamela Callow's book, and that's Callow, in case I have not spread that across social media enough this week, her first book, Damaged, in the Kate Lane Thriller Series, is free in Kindle. You can go right now.
Yeah.
Go on. Hurry up. Go to Amazon.
Yep.
Click
and
on
iBooks.
Pamela Callow.
And
go to Damaged and iBooks. It's on there free.
Yep.
And if you want to read on your iPhone, you can go to iBooks. iBooks is an excellent source for books, too. Go and get her book. Because I promise you, it will make you crazy. It's so good. It's that good.
Thank you, Pam.
It is that good. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I'm blushing over here.
What's interesting? Here's the thing that's interesting to me about the book. One, that you have used your own experiences as an attorney to write it. And I want to also kind of yank on that thread. Like I've mentioned to you, when I heard you say something I might want to ask you about, you said, I really wasn't sure what the difference between a mystery and a thriller is. So tell me what you know about
what I know now.
Well, what you know now.
I kind of called myself the accidental thriller writer at the time because for me it was about when I wrote Damaged. I mean, that book was decades in the making. I mean, I actually had my 25th law school reunion, this year. And And I worked actually after I was admitted to the bar. I actually did a master's degree in public administration and with an interest in public policy. And I ended up working for an international consulting firm as a strategic planning consultant. And all of that to say is that damage kind of put together a lot of different elements of my career, you know, working in these high powered firms and sort of looking at how law doesn't keep up with regulation. And then, of course, the whole idea of, you know, I actually took a U.S. criminal case and kind of transposed it a little bit to Canada. But what I realized when I was writing the plot was that it needed to have a character who I wanted to write a female character. This is a long way to get to the answer to your question. I wanted to write a female character who didn't have any criminal investigative experience, who was like me, you know, I'm reading these cases in the newspaper thinking, what would I do in that situation? You know, would I fight or would I flee? It's the classic
the writer's magic words, what if?
Exactly. Absolutely. And I think, you know, anybody who reads about these cases in the newspaper, any case, you know, you wonder what would you do in that situation if you were actually confronted with someone like that? And to kind of, you know, take it to the next level, I gave Halifax, where I live, and this is where the book set, its first serial killer. So it's sort of like, what does the community do with that? What do the police do with that? You know, how do they, you know, it's all these sort of questions of, you know, what happens in your community when something like that happens? And so, of course, when I put my main character in that kind of jeopardy, and you put a community in that kind of jeopardy, and then you have a big conspiracy that's going behind it that really threatens thousands of lives, that's a thriller, you know, because it's not just solving the mystery. You know, if you read a mystery, and I actually love Elizabeth George, you know, I loved Elizabeth Peters when I was younger, you know, I loved a lot of these, you know, classic mystery authors. And you know, you have a body and you're trying to solve the crime. But in a thriller, you usually have a body, you're trying to solve the crime, but that character is usually in jeopardy.
Ratcheting it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot more at stake. So the stakes are much higher. It's usually beyond the life of the actual protagonist. So, So I just, through the process of writing the book, just because of where I felt that all those elements I wanted to put into my story, I discovered I was a thriller author. So that's the story behind the story.
How fun is that? I love thrillers. And, you know, when I started reading, I started reading at a very young age, but I really got attached to mysteries because I read Agatha Christie, and I didn't know any better. I didn't know what standalone books were, but I knew that she had series characters, although they weren't called that. I knew who Miss Marple was and Poirot and so on and so forth. And so I thought you had to read books in order. And so she wrote like 110 books. I read all of them in order and knew that I know it's sick, isn't it? But they were small. You have to remember those books were like 160 pages or something, you know, 200 pages. Those are books that you'd get off the spinning racks in the grocery store, in the five and dime, you know, or in the bookstores. They were small, little books. And the bookstore that I went to was an indie store. I didn't even realize it, you know, bookstores are bookstores to me. And I would go back the next day to buy the next one. And the store owner said to me, "You read these too fast." He said, "You're going to spend all your money on books." And I said, "It's a worthy pursuit. You know, the purchase is well worth it." And he said, "I'm going to give you the book to read. Just bring it back tomorrow." And so that's how I read all the books in order, because he gave them to me to read.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's actually really beautiful.
It's really a cool thing. So he was really, that's what started my love of mysteries. And then as I got older, and there are some authors who've completely changed how I looked at books. So I often talk about Professor David Morrell as being the one who turned everything on its axis for me. When I read Brotherhood of the Rose and
and other books like Ken Follett and so on, Trevanian, you know, those were books that stuck with me. And so I often try to figure out what's the difference between how do I know it's a mystery and how do I know it's a thriller. And this is how I describe it, Pam. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but this is how I visualize it. I'm a very visual person. Even when I started reading your book, I had you visualize the characters, the background, everything. It's like a movie starting in my head. So to me, a mystery is like riding on a roller coaster. And I'm scared to death of roller coasters. So that's a mystery. But a thriller is riding a roller coaster in the pitch black dark of night.
That's
the
great
difference for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So it's a visual thing for me. It's cellular at a cellular level. I don't even know how else to say that. When I read Damaged, I was almost had to stop. You know, I was breathing really heavy from it. I was my heartbeat was ratcheted up, and that's kudos to you because that's what you want to happen. You know,
mine was at the end of every chapter. Well, you know, but when I write it, I probably can guess which scene you're referring to. I still feel that way when I read it. And when I wrote the climax of Damaged, wrote it in one go. I wrote for hours. I had to write it late into the night. And I was shaking. You know, my whole parasympathetic system was just completely
on overload.
Yeah. And that's what happens. You know, like I have a very physical reaction when I write as well. And so, you know, I'm constantly like getting, I actually tend to walk a lot before I write just to sort of try to, you know, relax everything because when I write, I actually get quite, intense.
You're involved in the actual
writing. Yeah. And I mean, thrillers are like that. They're very, very high. You know, there's a lot of suspense, a lot of conflict, and it's kind of, you know, you're really ramping up the ride as you go along,
Absolutely. It's like biting into a hot pepper. I'm telling you. So I understand that. You've just hit it. Now, I want to talk to you about your book covers because your book covers are what I see as they're so beautifully done. I don't know who does your covers for you, but first of all, you're so well branded with them, which is lovely. You know, this is the media mind, marketing mind talking. But also, this is a lot of people are copying you. I've seen this style of cover.
Oh wow!
Yes, yeah. As a matter of fact, just today, someone asked me to look at three covers, and I picked one that was very similar to yours because it was so striking.
Thank you.
Do you intend, I know that you have a fifth book coming out with the same character. Will Kate be your series character for the foreseeable future? Or do you anticipate that you will, maybe be writing something different, start another series, write a standalone? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, gosh, those are great questions. First of all, regarding my covers, I am going to give a plug to my wonderful designer, Andrew, for Design for Writers is his site, and he's based in the UK. And the branding actually came, I have to say, I was originally published by Mira Books, and they have a fabulous art department. And And my editor and the art department came up with a great brand for my books, and it was a woman's face. And water, and I live by the ocean, and I know you do too, or you live by...
Right.
Yeah, and it's really important to me. So I absolutely wanted to keep the water theme because my books are set in Halifax, and I felt in terms of bringing along my readers from when my books were originally published who would follow this, you know, the next books in the series, I wanted to keep some, you know, similarity in the branding. So that's why... We went with a sort of abstract woman's face, and that there's not really, you know, I'm trying not to make it one particular character's face on the cover. And
right.
It's
right.
more about the mood and the tone. My designer has a great
yeah.
color sense. And anyway, so I'm really glad you like them because they aren't typical. They really do stand out.
No.
And
yes, they do.
You know, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, I like the fact they stand out, but, you know, you want to make sure that you stand out, but people also know what kind of book they're buying, you know, so it's kind of that fine line. So I'm thrilled to hear that you like them. And
they're
proud
wonderful.
Of them. They look beautiful in trade paperback, I have to say. Like, you know, and my designer did a beautiful job on the spines of the books. They just look great. In terms of new characters.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that too, isn't it? When you you want every angle of that book to look beautiful because you never know where it's going to be or who is going to see it. Let me just take a second here and remind everyone, I am talking to the brilliant Pam Callow tonight. She is calling from Halifax, as you've heard her say. We are discussing her Kate Lang series. Her first book, it was just a runaway bestseller, Damaged. It is available on iBooks and Amazon for free right now. I urge you to go and get it. If you'd like to talk to Pam, give us a call. The number
Please
is 347-633-9609. And if you've already purchased Damaged, I'll give you the second book if you want to call in.
What?
So how about that?
That's
Nothing
awesome.
Wrong with that, right, Pam?
Yeah. Indefensible. I loved writing that book, too.
So,
I love writing.
So I'm not going to give away too much about but I do want to talk to you about a few things. So
yes,
Kate came from where? Where
okay.
did Kate come from?
Okay,
because
I'll tell you honestly.
She's a very unusual she's a very unusual, unique character.
Oh, thank you. I was just about to confess she was my alter ego when you said that.
But
no, I'm not sure if I should say that.
But I think that every book, every character has a main character, has some of the author in there anyway.
Yes.
Especially when you just start off. Now, whether you're peeling away the layers and we're learning more and more about her, that's fine. But so she's your alter ego, but you gave her some different edges, obviously.
Yes. Yes, I did.
So let's talk about that.
Well, you know, which edges to which edges are you referring?
Well,
I'm kind of wondering.
You describe your own character. You tell me. Tell me
what Kate
wanted in a character.
Okay. Well, first of all, Kate's in her early 30s. Some of the similarities that I share with Kate is that I have to say, I had a very loving family. Kate did not. I had a very good family background, but I paid my way through 3 degrees. So I sort of understood the struggle. I worked part time since I was 15 or 16 in school,
right.
And you know, so I had sort of a solid foundation in terms of support, emotional support. But on the financial side, I worked pretty hard to get where I am now. And, you know, so I wanted to give a character that had some grit and who had actually seen her share of things. And, you know, I've always felt that really what drives people from, you know, because I'm really very, even though I have thriller plots, I'm very character focused. I feel like, you know, that's where all these decisions are made, the motivations. I write in multiple points of view because I find it interesting. I think it's really interesting how people interact and react to things. But there's always
yeah.
something that drives someone. And it's usually, often there's a secret shame that people carry that propels them in ways that they don't always necessarily recognize. And so, you know, the working title of Damaged was actually No Man's Land. And, you know, in my mind, I felt that each character was in their own private purgatory. And we didn't use No Man's Land as a title because my publisher was concerned as a debut novelist that retailers and readers might think that it was a book about the war. So we went through a title change with the series. And anyway, I mean, that's kind of where I think Kate gets some of that. She's a bit scrappy because she's struggled a bit, and she's had to really find her way against a few odds, you know, in her life. So
that's great. Will
thank
we be
you.
Learning more about her, a backstory, as
yes.
as books come?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know your character in full yet, or are you discovering her also?
No, it's discovery. It's discovery. I mean, I know a lot about Kate. I mean, it's just like if you're discovering yourself in some ways. You know, and there's parts of her life that are still unknown. I mean, her father was, you know, she's estranged from her father. When she was 12, he was convicted of a crime and was in jail. Mm-hmm. And she refused to see him after that. So, you know, that's the story threads that I plan to explore down the road. You know,
it's a good one
things,
too. Yeah, I like
you.
That
yeah,
one.
I mean, I think it's interesting, and it kind of played its way through a lot of different dynamics in the book. And, you know, I haven't personally had that experience. I didn't have that issue, but there's a lot of other things that I'm either drawing in from my own experiences and I've changed them, you know, or put them in different characters or
sure.
people I know, you know, it's you're just
yes.
absorbing this sort of tapestry around you and finding
absolutely.
Ways of trying to share. Like for me, it's about sharing some of these universal experiences, you know?
Yes. And it's a nuanced sharing experience though. I will tell you because I think that if it's an in your face type of a thing, I just had to put a book down from an author whom I adore. I adore her series and all, but it just almost sent me off the deep end. I tried really hard to love it, and I couldn't because it was so in your face. It's the first time that had happened, and I was so nervous about it, having to talk to the publicist and why I wasn't going to do a review. So I will not put a bad review up. I'd rather not put a review at
I'm
all.
I'm the same way.
And
I'm the same way.
Yeah, because I think that the reading experience is personal.
Mm-hmm.
And what may trouble me or about something I'm reading may not bother anyone in the least bit. They're, you know, we all have different life experiences. So I like the fact that while you're incorporating the things around you, the essence of lives around you, it's a nuanced incorporation. It is not with a heavy hand, and that to me is very important because most things, except for when the criminal element comes in, are not done with a heavy hand. Yeah, you know, life slaps you upside the head once in a while. You and I know that both from our own past experiences, but
mm-hmm.
all in all, I will say that life is kind of nuanced. You can go with it's like the tide. It comes and goes. Yes, it can get rough, but to me, that's what makes an infinitely satisfying read. When I can read passages out loud and it sounds good to my ear, I say this every time I speak to someone. I hope that authors read some of their work out loud because it just gives you a whole new perspective on what you're writing. And
mm-hmm.
for me, it's part of the joy of experiencing a book is reading passages out loud. I do that with Pat Conroy's books.
Oh,
when I read anything for him, the Prince.
Oh my God!
Yeah, when I wrote the first time I read The Prince of Tides, I couldn't get past the first five pages without going and finding someone and saying, "Listen to this! It's so beautiful. You have to listen."
I know.
You know?
Remember. I know, and I was thinking I need to reread them. I remember the first when I read same experience, and you know it's true.
Yeah.
I agree with you about reading out loud. I do public readings, and for all of my books, I've had a public launch, and so I'm actually quite aware of it when I'm writing that I will be reading
yeah.
these sections out. And I do remember for Indefensible, I had a really interesting event that was sponsored by the Nova Scotia chapter of the Canadian Bar Association, and they invited me to be a guest speaker, and there is an actual courtroom scene in Indefensible that they actually recreated for me.
Oh boy.
In the same in the same courtroom. In the same courtroom. And I know. And so and then because this was like an open to the public event. And so it was really cool. And I did a reading. I did a reading of that same scene after it was acted out. And of course, I'm, you know, I think I had written the book a year before this happened. And I'm sitting there hoping that I got every detail of the courtroom correct. You know? Because I was describing the color of the wall. But I know, because you're not really anticipating that you necessarily will be in the exact same space. But I do a lot of research, you know, and so if I do, especially since my books are set in an actual place, I take photos and I'm careful.
Oh, good for you.
Oh yeah, I do. I mean, I have to, because also when I'm writing, I like to have things, visual references to refer to. I actually did a tour of, you know, the cells in the provincial courthouse with a video, you know, I videoed all of it so I could go back and look at them. Wow. And, you know, and I'm not giving anything away because this is the beginning of Indefensible, but there, when the crime occurs, it occurs in a residential area in Halifax. And I actually made sure I walked down the street. I took photos of all the houses and made sure that I created a house that didn't look like the one where the crime occurred, because I didn't want somebody who lived there to feel like I had targeted
people knocking on the door,
fictional murder. So, you know, so it's kind of it's interesting. It's kind of one of those things where you want to make sure that you're really accurate, but you also have to be careful to omit, you know, to if it's. If it's related to a fictional crime, I change names, of places.
Absolutely.
And buildings.
Sure.
So.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. Tell me about your writing process. Are you, are you still practicing law?
No, I'm not. I haven't practiced in a long time. I actually went off, excuse me, I'm going to cough. Sorry. I became a strategy consultant instead, and didn't practice after that. So I then, I worked as a strategy consultant. Then they closed my office in Halifax at the same time that I had my first child, and I did some contract work, and then I actually started writing. And I have one unpublished manuscript prior to Damaged that won a bunch of unpublished writing contests and actually made it to the buying, you know, meeting of a major publishing house, and they rejected it. And which was good, because it led me to writing Damage, and it put me on a very different course. And
absolutely.
But that's kind of been my path. And now what's been great, one of the best things about being published is that it has connected me to many people in my life. You know, it's connected me to readers. It's connected me, it's connected me to you. It's connected me to people I knew from law school a long time ago that I had, you know, lost track of. And I've received so much support, and it's actually been really touching and you know, sort of something I hadn't anticipated, and I feel very fortunate to have it. So I call my lawyer who are practicing, and I shadow them. You know, I'll shadow them in court and do things like that. And I'm really lucky because on my husband's side of the family, I have two Crown prosecutors. So, you know, even though I'm not practicing, I can do the research and ask the questions
You still got your toes and your fingers in there at some place.
Yeah.
Are you a disciplined writer? Do you sit down every day?
Yes.
You go to work on your book every day. Do you outline or storyboard?
Yes.
You do.
This is how I work. Train.
Tell me.
Because this is what lawyers do. You know, they bill every 6 minutes of their time. So that's how you bill. So that's a really good way to learn how to be disciplined as a writer. I never write in my pajamas. It's very rare. Like, I get up, I get dressed. You know, I actually tend to leave my house and go write in a coffee shop for a little bit just to get a break. And so my actual writing process for plotting a novel is I do a lot of, you know, I have to have some kind of idea. You know, there has to be a theme. Like Exploited, it was sort of about, you know, privacy and whistleblowers, and there's a whole sort of, you know, interesting kind of combination of factors. It's sort of the same thing with Tattooed. You know, there's an element of assisted suicide in there that really kind of came from my own personal, you know, I would say grief over the, you know, my mother died from a very long, protracted, painful death from cancer when I was in law school. And you know, these are the things that you draw on and you think about. And, and then conversely, I was at the beach with my kids and I'm fascinated by the tattoo subculture. So I kind of pulled it together and wrote a book about it. And with a tattoo artist, you know, the sort of whole celebrity tattoo artist thing that I thought was really interesting. And Indefensible came from an idea I had in law school around, you know, what would happen if I was accused of a terrible crime, you know, except I juxtaposed that idea on the managing partner of Kate's firm, who's, you know, defines his life by his success. You know, what happens when that's pulled out from under you in the space of 24 hours? What do you, you know, what happens to how you view yourself? So, you know, I take that genesis of that idea, and then I do a lot of research into it because they're often case-based, and I read the cases, and then, you know, I often read, when I'm writing my characters, I often read memoirs and autobiographies. I do a lot of research that way, even for tangential characters. You know, right now I'm reading two memoirs for a character. I'm planning on introducing a medical examiner in my fifth book, so I've been reading a number of memoirs, and I'm actually meeting with a medical examiner next week to, you know, really sort of delve down into some of the research. So I do a lot of that. And at the same time, I'm sort of thinking about my characters and thinking about their lives. And I create, you know, there's no character in my books that doesn't have a life to me. They're not just there for a role. Like, they have a life, you know, and I think about it and I think about why they do things. And so that takes time. So it's very, that part of it's kind of organic because it feeds in and out of each, you know, each side of it, the equation. And then, but then when I really sit down and outline, I start my process with flowcharts. I'm a very, very sequential, chronological thinker. You know,
very
so
linear.
I am very linear. Sure. I don't write my books out of sequence. I start at the beginning and I end at the end. I have a really hard time starting in the middle because there's no context around it for me.
Exactly.
It's just the way I have to write. So I have to know what led them to that point because it'll change how they react to it. You know, that's just how I write. So anyway, that's what I do. So I flowchart.
I sit down and write outlines. Do you know you want them to end up? Do you know where you want, when you start writing, do you know kind of sort of where you want the ending of the book to be? Not necessarily exactly what it is, but do you have the plot, the high point, that big plot twist already in mind?
Yes,
you
absolutely
do.
Yeah, because
and
you
is
have
that
to
before you do your outline, or is that
after no
you start
it's
writing?
Sort of during, you should see my outline. Favorite way to outline
like draft,
is to take, I actually just take blank white paper from my printer. I take sheets of it, and I'll carry it with me in my laptop computer bag and pull them out wherever I'm going when I'm working, and a nice gel pen. I just love that. And I just fill these. I have so many pages, and then they make no sense to anyone except me. You know, and then that's like my little, you know.
That's how you do it. That's how it works for you.
That's my book. And then I basically look at those flowcharts because I'll write it. I literally write it across like Kate, you know, Ethan, you know, the antagonist, whoever. And then I start doing arrows between them of what the interactions are and who knew what when. And then if I'm stuck on a plot point, I'll do multiple versions of which way it could go, you know, so that
wow.
I try to figure out what's the logical extension of what would happen with this particular situation. And then, you know, and then when I figure out most of it, I create an outline and then I start writing. So the outline's quite detailed at the beginning and it becomes less detailed in the middle. And then the end, I usually know what my final scene is, but I kind of recognize in the writing process that things start to shift and take better shape.
Right.
And I won't know exactly, you know, what all those elements are, but I have to figure out how to get to this final point. You know, I have a big scene at the end of Exploited and I knew what the scene was. And it,
right.
I had to really sit down and map out how I got to that end point very carefully. Yeah.
I want to ask you just something. It's crazy, but in my brain, I'm picturing you with, I'm picturing this long roll of butcher paper and you writing on it like a mural. And, you know, here's your flow charts and here's all your thing. You just keep scrolling out this paper. And I know you're not doing that, but that's the visual that's going through my head and I'm kind of chuckling about it. But when it all is said and done, what do you do with all the papers?
I shred them.
Do
sorry,
really?
I had a cough drop stuck in my mouth. Oh, yeah. Oh, listen. You know what? That legal training is embedded deeply in every cell of my body.
I'm surprised, though, Pam. I mean, I'm surprised because with so much character development and such fully formed characters, even like you're talking about the secondary, you know, these ancillary characters that are fully fleshed out as well, do you remember them from book to book?
I go back and I reread what I've written. Yeah. I mean,
so,
I write. So, no, I mean, I shred my flow charts. I don't shred all of my, like, okay, the flow charts are just one element of it. Then that helps me with the plotting, but that's not the character development. So I sort of have two streams, you know, once the plotting and then I only, when I say that's at the very end of writing the book. So, I mean, there's nothing shredded during the writing process. It's like when the book is
written
and published. No, for my character arcs, I have all of that. And I just write those up
I have a friend who keeps a journal for every book. And so the main character, all the characteristics of the main character, physical, emotional, mental, financial, family, you know, friends, everything are all in that journal. And then bits and like pulling threads from conversations or inspiration, all this stuff is written out. It's really interesting. And she's written quite a few books. And so I'm thinking that it would be interesting to go back and see her thought processes in the process of writing. Now, another thing that she has done with me, and I've actually blogged about this, is that she would send me every chapter or every three chapters, and I would read while she was writing. I would read it. And
that's
it's
fantastic.
Something that most authors most authors won't do that. They say, oh, no, this is my first go through. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to let anybody see it because, you know, it's just throwing up words on the page. But it was really fascinating for me to learn the writing process from a New York Times bestselling author. And that was fascinating to see where she got stuck, where she it flowed like magic. So, and she said, no matter what, you have to be honest with me. And I said, okay. And I was, I'm fairly diplomatic. You know, I don't use a big hammer when I can just use a tap on the shoulder. So it was really fun. And we said one day we'd do that again too. Do you think you'd ever do something like that?
Are you offering?
I would do that. And
oh,
I would love for you. I would do that. I think it's fun.
Thank you, Pam.
Every author has a different process. And
You have a different way of approaching story and storytelling. And, you know, we talked earlier about life experiences and all. She had someone that she went to for research because she was writing cybercrime and stuff, really dark black ops that was true. She had a black ops person who actually runs a covert school. And so her paradigm was way different than the things that you're writing. I would love to do that with you. And I blogged for her website about it.
Wow.
And I blogged for my website. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I waited till the book was over, but I, you know, kept almost, she was writing and I was keeping a journal about what I was reading.
Very cool.
It's interesting.
Well,
yeah, if you ever want to do that, I'm game.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I you know, my writing, like my actual physical writing process, I mean, I've described how I do it, but I describe it. It's interesting. You described writing, you know, sort of the roller coaster thing. The actual, because I think the reading of a thriller is exactly how you describe it. The writing of it for me is like a steam engine where it's very slow the first third of the book because you're setting up so many elements. And it's, I'm a very methodical, I actually write a very clean first draft. Like my books, I really hate, you know, revisions for me are, you know, because I've missed something or there's a character arc issue. And then, you know, the middle, because if you set it up well enough and carefully enough, the middle is never a problem because there's so much that's happening. And then the end of it, you're just racing to keep up with it because everything, you're just trying to pull all those threads together, you know, and finish the book. Yeah. So, it's kind of, but I find it fascinating because everyone works a little differently, but I'm just trying to be a person who likes to know.
For me,
80% of the work's in my head, to be honest, like before I even write the book.
I have a friend who writes the book in her head first. She's so intelligent that she will think through every chapter in her head and then she'll go and put it down. It's mind-boggling to me. The amount of information she has in her brain, and she just, that's how she writes her books. So, you know, it works, whatever process works for you, and if you're selling books, obviously it's a successful process, you know. It's working, don't change it. But there are no two that are alike. I've done almost 1,000 author interviews. I've never met two authors who write in the exact same way. Some who don't do research or do only research from the internet, do not actually put feet on the ground to go and see where their characters are. And of course, you know, obviously if it's post-apocalyptic or dystopian or science fiction, you can't do that. But you know, stuff that's grounded in here and today or in the past, whatever. So it's fascinating to me that is your process. It's terrific. I before we go anyplace else, because we're running out of time, I've kept you for so long, and I know you're battling a cold, and I'm ever grateful.
Not at all, but
I
think I probably sound like, you know, if someone actually met me in real life, not today, they would probably not realize that I don't speak in a growl like this all the time.
Well, you sound very
my
clear
voice
to me.
Is,
you don't sound sick at all, believe
right.
me. So tell everyone where we can find you on the webs, please.
Oh, okay. So my website is www.pamelacallow.com. That's PamelaCallow.com. And I have a Facebook page, and it's actually Pamela Callow is my Facebook page. And my Twitter handle is @PamelaCallow. So I tried to keep it really simple. And I am on Facebook many times a day. So if you want to drop me a message, please do. And I also have a newsletter, and I'm, you know, sending out information about that, about promotions when I put my book, sneak peeks for the next book that's going to be coming out, and cover reveals and events. So please sign up to my newsletter.
And go look in on Pam's Amazon author page, too. And, you know, always go and check those things out, listeners. If you've not had an opportunity to – if you're just going and clicking on and getting the books, good for you. Please remember to leave a review. But take a moment and look at the Amazon author page or the author page, wherever it is you buy your books, because you'll often learn – a lot more about your author. So let's take a call. We have a call from area code 902. Hi, you're live on the air. Who's this?
Hi, it's Karen. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Actually,
go
I know
ahead.
Pam, and she's the farthest from nasty, but I found this very interesting to get some of the insight into actually how she designs what she's going to do in her books.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. And I appreciate you saying I'm far from nasty, although I'm kind of proud of being a nasty woman, to be honest. Although, you know, even Canadians.
This is Nasty Women January. I had to do it. I just had to. I wanted to highlight female crime fiction authors, especially those I've never spoken before. And I essentially just did a shout out to everyone. Who should I interview? Who do you want to hear from? Who's never been on my show? And Pam's name came up, and it was serendipitous for me. I think that Pam and I have had a good laugh over it, but I'm thrilled. You know, people were saying, "Oh, you've got to read Pam Callow's work," and I said, "Okay." So, do you have a question for Pam by any chance?
Well, actually, I went to a book launch recently that she had for her fourth book. And I've just bought the series. I have three authors on the go right now. And so I've gone through her first book, reading her second, while I'm also reading books from two other authors.
Do you mind sharing who else you're reading? I'm curious, who else are you reading?
I don't know if I want to say. I tend to like forensic books, so... other friends.
I'm sorry, you what? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Listen, I read cross genre all the time, and I will read the books of people that I interview and that I particularly like. You know, we try to have a lot of fun on this show. It's never too serious that, you know, it's maudlin. But I'm like that. I'll read friends' books almost first. So. I thank you for calling
Karen. I really liked about her books is because I actually live in the Halifax area, and because I can relate to all the places that she speaks about, and
interesting.
And actually, yeah, and several of my colleagues find the same thing, and I think that's what we really like about it. And the same with some of the other authors that I read, because they all do talk about Montreal area, and you know, just areas that I've been in before, where you know, familiar with, and just
oh, I love that. You're very loyal
to
your Canadian authors. You really like
your
Canadian authors, and supporting them.
I have had tremendous support from Halifax, from Haligonians. Did you know that's what we're called, Haligonians? And
interesting.
I know. And it's actually been, thank you so much for calling, Karen, and for coming to my launch. It's been really fun to write a book set in Halifax because I get to explore my city through a different eye, you know. And
you sure do.
And we have it's an interesting city. It's a port city. You know, it's a university city. It's, you know, it's a beautiful city geographically. And it's very easy to tap into urban and rural settings when I write. So, and you know, I had originally, I mean, Damage had actually been rejected by at least one publisher in the U.S. when I first wrote it. And because it was set in Canada. And I knew when I wrote it that I was, they said our Canadian books don't do well. And so, you know, but when I wrote Damaged, I thought, you know, I'm going to set it in Halifax and I'm going to be like Ian Rankin and make Halifax an interesting character to the story. And then, you know, And I put Halifax in the very first line of damaged. You know, I thought I'm putting it right out there. And it has had such great reception all around the world. You know, it's actually damaged. It's the number one free medical and legal thriller in the UK. And it's in the top five in the US for medical and legal thrillers.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, it is. And, you know, I get readers who email me who've either say, I want to come to Nova Scotia, or I've been to Nova Scotia, or they don't even talk about Nova Scotia and they talk about Kate and whatever else has gone on in the book. So it really hasn't been, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing where it has originally been a barrier to publication with at least one publisher, but it's actually been something I've been very proud of. And I've certainly, you know, it's been fun for me to put our city out there.
I think it's great. I love that. You know, and I guess they say write what you know, but I am going to read the first paragraph. So, I mean, the first line from your book, From Damaged, is the date. It's Friday, April 27, 5 p.m. Springtime in Halifax was not known for its warmth or sunshine, nor was Lyons McGrath Barrett, one of Halifax's premier boutique law firms. So there you go. You've said it twice in the opening. And I think that's just delightful. Congratulations. Kate, thank you so much. Karen, thank you so much for your call. I so appreciate
you
calling in. And have a great evening.
Good luck,
thank
Pam,
you
on
for listening.
Oh, thank you, Karen, and thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Pam, I've loved having you on the show. Now, I ask this of every single guest that I love, and I've had so much fun with you. Will you come back again, first of all?
Oh, my gosh.
Know, down the road.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, and so here's my next request. If I make it easy, the way
mm-hmm.
I did tonight with setting up our connection, will you come and sit behind the microphone and interview an author that you like?
Oh, of course. I'd love to do that. That would be so much fun.
Okay, so I'm going to remind you to pick an author, and we'll look into the future there when you're not in the process of writing. And you'll come on and interview someone that you like, okay?
Oh,
and
well,
I'll be your tech for the night.
That would be fun.
I have absolutely loved every single second of this. Thank you so much for being with me tonight.
We've gone way over
our allotted time. I'm sorry I kept you so long when you don't feel
well. Oh, not at all. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Pam. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to have you come back.
Oh, thank you. Good night. Thank you so much.
Good night. You're welcome. And that's our show for tonight. Thank you for being with me. Go pick up Pam's first book, Damaged. It's available now for free on Amazon and iBooks. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you for being with me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.